The Drop with Frank and Brian is officially brought to you by Switch Suspension. Switch Suspension specializes in all vehicle chassis components. Lift kits, lowering kits, air ride suspension, wheels, tires, steering, and brake upgrades. They use all the best products from the best brands. And these guys are truck guys. You roll into their parking lot at the shop and they all drive custom vehicles. So they use their products that they sell on their own vehicles. So if you guys are looking for anything for your vehicles, whether you're just starting out or you just need some replacement parts or whatever, give them a call or visit their website, switchsuspension.com.
Hope you enjoyed this episode of The Drop. If you like these podcasts and all the other content we create, head on over to our websites and purchase merch. Purchasing merch keeps us going and creating more content. Our websites are grinder-tv.com and livelifecustom.com. We really appreciate it. Now on to the episode.
All right. Hey, everybody.
Recording?
No, hey, it's not recording. Okay. Hi, everybody. What's going on? Luckily, I only figured it out just a few minutes or like a minute or so into this.
Were you weren't recording the audio?
I just wasn't recording the audio. We got the video right there.
All
right. But now we got the audio, the video.
We're good to go.
And like we were just saying, a lot of moving parts going down.
I was saying like your life, you have kids, you have this stuff going on all the time, you know, regardless of what it is. I have none of that.
Mm-hmm.
So my life, it goes from this like very like, I have nothing going on for a week. Like literally I'll wake up and I'll go, I have nowhere to be.
Oh, really?
For 2 weeks.
Wow.
But then that turns into like being somewhere every single day.
Right, right.
And it's the snap of the fingers because I'll just go, huh, I got nothing to do. I'll just start to work on and then ding, ding. Yep. Hey, can you come film a video tomorrow?
Hey, you busy? What's going on? Hey.
This truck's leaving tomorrow morning. Can you come tomorrow morning and film a video of it real quick?
Right.
And so I'm like, it's just funny like that. And that's kind of what happened today.
Yeah.
Yesterday and today. Yeah. It was like nowhere to be until the end of July turned into trailers done, driving to Georgia. And I was like, I wonder if there's a car show next weekend. There's a car show. Messaged him. He's like, yep, I'll fit you in. So now I'm vending a whole show and I'm doing.
I saw that. Angie's all because because Angie's like, is this a show you're going to? And I was like, I don't think so. And then
I mean, you can.
No. But yeah, it was just funny that she just saw that earlier that you're getting ready to. It's a show in Tennessee, right?
Yeah, it's the Southeast Truckin' Nationals.
But it's not put on by Jason Bell.
No, it's put on by Brian Ashley. And it's been going on for a while. It's a big show. Travis drives out to it from Pro Performance.
Oh,
GSI
cool.
goes out
oh,
to it.
Oh, it's more like a C10 type show?
It's a GMC Chevy.
Oh, okay, cool.
Yeah. And I think maybe it's Ford's too because it does say, maybe, I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
I have no idea. I just know it's in Lebanon, Tennessee, mm-hmm. which is like just north of where I'm going. But yeah.
So that's cool. It's exciting, man.
I know. When you think like nothing and then it all just works out.
Yeah. Oh, for sure. That's the way it always goes. But like you said, like my life is just like everything else in between. It's like getting kids to practice. Like I had to take my kid to my sister's house, which is only 45 minutes away. But on the way home takes 2 hours to get home.
You got to go down the hill. You're like,
yeah, it's a breeze down coming up. Not so much. Well, actually, nowadays, it's not so much a breeze down anymore, but that's beside the point. But
One day they'll get that pass fixed and
probably not.
No,
this is my purgatory.
It's been under construction for about 40 years.
Yeah. But anyway, the truck thing. I didn't record this part, but yeah, I appreciate everybody messaging me about the trucks that they found. I really, and I'm not being like, you know, funny about it. I really do appreciate it.
Yeah.
I have tons of people sending me cool trucks. But what's interesting is there are only so many trucks on Facebook. So I do start getting a lot of trucks, you know, like
same ones.
Yeah, like 3 or 4 times. But it's been a week since the 4Runner left and I've been on the hunt. We had unfinished business last weekend and we'll talk about that a little bit more, but,
I was going to say, why don't we just get into that and then go into the marketplace thing?
Okay. Well, yeah. Cause the only reason I was going to say is start there because, it kind of goes hand in hand because what had happened is I sold the truck on a Thursday, Friday, and then the show was on a Saturday. And in the meantime, there was my unicorn. That was my unicorn.
Yeah.
It got away. Yeah. So like, you know, Saturday was super cool for the unfinished business show. Talked to so many people who, you know, came up to me, watched a video. We were talking about the sale and about what's next. And, you know, everybody's giving me this great advice and I really appreciate it. And in the meantime, like there were a couple like, you know, irons in the fire. We're cooking along, and by the time I had decided that yes, this is the one, we're gonna do it. This is the absolutely the one. The dude sells it.
Yeah.
So that was my first lesson in Facebook Marketplace.
Yeah, which we will get into.
Right, which we'll get into in a minute.
We'll get into it here in a minute.
But yeah, but the Unfinished Business Show, you came out along with the whole.
We brought a little crew.
Yeah, man, you brought a whole army with you.
Yeah, so we left my house late Sunday night or Friday night. Got to Banning, crashed for like 4 or 5 hours, and then took off down there and set the booth up, and it was a good time.
Yeah, that was cool. Will Freeman came out, brought his truck. Yeah, Lindsay came out and set up a booth.
Yeah, me, Lindsay, and Jeff rode out in the Maverick, and then Will in fit with family in tow. Towed out his Nissan, and
that's cool.
Bunch of our club came out.
Yeah, that was so much fun.
Yep, and it was just a cool day. Like that show is one of the few in that area.
Mm-hmm.
In fact,
it might be the only.
It might be the only one. Mm-hmm. There's cruise nights and stuff like that, but like a show where you roll in, unpack, and then there's awards at the end of the day, like a full day thing. Like that's probably the only one, and. It's just cool because that's where Rezzo used to be. So my first truck run was at that venue.
That was your first Rezzo was there.
That was my first ever 3-day truck run.
I'm sorry, I don't mean to cut you off, but is that the same one where you drove an hour out of your way to meet up with the club to then roll back to 10 minutes by your house?
I drove all the way to Corona to drive all the way back. Mm-hmm. And the funny thing was, you know, Bob Hayes, he comes strolling up. And Bob Hayes, for anyone that doesn't know, is the guy that threw Rezzo, West Coast Nationals, you know, all that stuff. And he was talking to me, and I go, you know, Bob, I said, the very first time I met you, we were standing 10 feet over there, basically.
That's wild.
Like, probably 50 feet, but right there at that gate. And I was like, and now 30 years later.
Wow.
You know, like we're standing in the same spot. At a mini truck show, and it was just a weird thing, and I didn't think about that till like mid conversation with him, and it was pretty funny.
And knowing Bob, he probably just went like, so anyway,
he doesn't care.
I don't care. No, but that is super cool. The only run type event, I mean, obviously I went to the Forbidden Fantasy show for many, many years there. But the only like run type event that I went to was 1 year when Summer Madness was there.
That was
a good one. That was a good Summer Madness too. It was a lot of fun.
It was. Then that place, the Paris Fairgrounds, you know, what it looks like now is pretty much what it looked like through the years that Forbidden was there.
Yeah. It hasn't changed much.
But before that was all dirt. Like there was no buildings there. There was the racetrack. But there was nothing else there.
Oh, in the front, there was none of those buildings.
There's none of those buildings. Oh, wow. Those were all built after that. So
wild.
It's really cool to go back there because I see people at that show that I never see at any other shows.
Yeah.
And that's how it was like with Forbidden too, because so many clubs had core chapters of their clubs in the Inland Empire and in Moreno Valley and Paris and Hemet and like, you know, you think of Act One, Hemet, Negative Camber, Hemet, like all these old school clubs come from these areas. So when there's a show, they kind of like come out.
Yeah.
They kind of look around, say hi to people, and then you don't see them again.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
And I wish I have it on a note on here. And I just was like, someone else needs to they need a few more shows in that area.
And I think the area, the scene is ready for it because, you know, look how many guys came out from Arizona. I mean, you guys specifically, but more broadly, like all the Sunset guys came out from Arizona. There were some No Regrets guys came out from Arizona. There's a lot of people who came. Usually it was always for a long time. It was the other way around. It's like people going from California to these shows.
The thing is if you throw a show in June, July, and August in Southern California, the people from Arizona will come out because it's too hot to do anything out here.
Right, right.
You know, there's shows out here, but there's no mini truck shows out here during the summer. There's not much going on at all.
Mm-hmm.
So any chance for us to get there is a good excuse. But, and you know, it goes back to so many people I've talked to about throwing shows and all this stuff. This is an entirely different subject that we could go on for a long time about, but I want to keep it short.
Mm-hmm.
Just keep, if you're thinking about throwing a show or you're a club and you're like, we should throw a show, but I don't know, because it's not going to be as big as Mini Nats. It's not going to be as big as this or whatever. Don't worry about that stuff. Don't worry about trying to do all these things at a show.
Right.
If you could just find a location that allows people to be there and there's bathrooms and food and you have some trophies, people mm-hmm. will come.
And there's a little, I think there's a little caveat to that, because the retort to that would be, because I can hear Los listening right now and saying, well, hey, man, we throw the council show, you know, and those are appreciated. And I do like those. But I think there's a little bit of a second gear to that. Like, those shows are great for what they are, you know, being in Galaxy Burger parking lot and stuff. But you kind of need something a little more.
Yeah,
like, you don't need to go as big as Mini Nats, but you need a little more than like a parking lot of a yes, fast food place.
Like a park.
Exact. Oh yeah. 1 year the and back to Los and Council Run, they did a council picnic at Guasti Park.
Yeah.
In Rancho, and that was killer. Like, throwing a show there would be really cool.
Yeah, exactly. And it just needs, and also just needs someone fresh to do it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, it just needs a fresh set of eyes, a fresh club or mm-hmm. something, just to, you know, a couple more of those a year would be nice.
Yeah, no, it'd be super cool. Yeah, we'd be there for sure.
Yep.
But yeah, no, the show was a lot of fun. It wasn't necessarily huge. You know, there wasn't,
and that's
like
the, it, that's the thing. It wasn't huge, right. And it's totally fine.
And that, yeah, that's the point that I was going to make, is again, you don't have to shoot for 2000 vehicles at Minionauts or whatever that may be, or LST or anything like that. If you have 75 cars and a bunch of chill people, it's a fun day.
Yeah.
I had a lot of fun, and it's kind of interesting. We had two different perspectives on that day, because you had a full booth. You were there all day. I was only there for like 3 hours.
Yeah.
You know, because the first idea was I was going to bring the 400 down, and obviously everybody knows what happened with that. And then from I've been talking about that, me and Joey went back down to San Diego. We went to a Wu-Tang Run to the Jewels concert, which I'll talk about in a second here. But yeah, so it was kind of a really weird, different perspective for me, because I'm used to the normal get there, set up a booth, hang out all day, close down.
Well, actually, that's a lie, because you've never set up a booth at that show.
Well, no, I mean, in general, going to shows. No, I know, in general. You know what I mean? Yeah. So, like, for me, yeah, because the couple times I have been to that show, because usually something else comes up, is, yeah, I have only been there for a little while, and then I skedaddle.
Yeah.
But anyway, but it was cool for me, but it was also kind of like a whole experience, because it happened so fast. You know, like I said, everybody was, you know, curious onto what happened and, you know, what I'm going to do next and all this other stuff. So, but yeah, but it was really cool. But like you said, the club being there was really cool. Our buddy Mike rolled out his S10 with a brand new paint job. That was super cool. Turned out super killer. I like, those are the kind of flames that I like, are those long seaweedy type flames.
Yeah. And a purple truck with white, like, it's just cool. Yeah. It's just really cool.
Yeah. Definitely total mini truck vibe, you know, which is kind of interesting, because that truck was in our club before. Mm-hmm. Joey from SenCal had that. He built that truck, so he made that truck.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was super fun. Everybody rolled out, and it looked good.
Yeah. And then their raffle's insanely huge.
Mm-hmm.
And it's funny, because Chris, the guy that throws that show,
we should mention that Chris Donardo, Alan Ed's Escondido, puts together that event, and he does a killer job.
Yeah. And I work with him on our raffle. Mm-hmm. You know, I get a bunch of audio stuff from him, and so we kind of go back and forth on ideas, like, and one of the biggest topics, or the hardest things to do when you have a huge raffle like that, is hours of calling out numbers.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Literally hours.
That's always.
And the other problem with that is everyone wants to buy tickets. So now you have this, you know, from, if you start at 3 o'clock, if your trophies are at 5 and you start the raffle at 3, between 3 and 5, you have to sit there and pay attention to the mm-hmm. raffle. You can't sit there and talk to your friends.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? You have to, you know, Kim took Big Dave went and got raffle tickets for me and him. And then Kim took them and was paying attention, luckily, because there's been so many times where I will buy raffle tickets and I could win. I don't know, because I'm not paying attention.
Oh, imagine all the stuff you probably have won in the past.
Yeah, I probably still lost.
That, right.
But like, you know, so. Again, like, me and Chris bounce things off of each other when it comes to ideas. So sitting there watching that and all that stuff, I came up with a great idea for our raffle next year.
Okay. Are you going to hit me with it, or is it, you still ironing
basically, okay. So we have 3 tables of raffle prizes,
mm-hmm.
and we, the first 2 tables, or the first 1.5 tables next year, we're just going to pull the tickets at 4. We're not going to announce them. And we're going to tape the tickets to the prizes.
Oh, good idea.
And then the last part, the big prizes, we'll mm-hmm. announce those. So we're not sitting there for so long.
Right. No, that's a good idea. What happens if the people left whose tickets those are? I'm just throwing this out there.
Oh, if they did, then if they're not claimed by right before we do the last big prize, then we'll go through
re-raffle them again. Okay, yeah. Cool. Awesome. Yeah. So just, yeah. So then people can come along if they won, then they're like, oh yeah, this is mine. Yeah. And you just put claimed on it. And if not, yeah, that's a killer idea.
And I think and with giving the truck away next year, it's going to be pretty cool too. But, mm-hmm. That like just paying attention to what happens at other shows, it keeps each show to like keep tweaking on things and getting better and better and better.
Yeah.
And better,
yeah. Make so. It as streamlined as possible.
Yeah.
That's cool. How did the awards go? Mike won 2 awards.
Yeah, Mike won 2 awards. Brandon won an award. Alan won an award.
Oh, cool.
Did
you get? Well, we didn't get Club Par, did we?
No, Freaks did.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, by way more than us.
Oh, that's fine. That's fine. I was just proud of us to roll that many out there.
I know, right?
It was pretty good.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was very good.
But yeah, no, it was a good time, and those shows are. Like I said, they're fun. So mm-hmm. Some more people throw a couple more during the summer so I can get out of this heat.
And right. SoCal. Yeah. Yeah. Must be a nice little break.
Yeah.
Yeah. But killer show. Had a lot of fun. Like I said, I would have had a different experience. We boned out a little early, went down. We saw Wu-Tang Run the Jewels. It was incredible. I had so much fun at that show. I go to a lot of different little shows and stuff, but sometimes they'll pop up where I just have a really killer time, and that was one of them. So I didn't want to go like way into this, but give a little bit of like kind of what Wu-Tang means to me. So like I first heard Wu-Tang in 1997, and it was like kind of like in this time of skateboarding where like we were coming out of the 80s and early 90s where skateboarding was kind of just really for like people who listen to punk rock music or rock music and stuff like that. And in the mid 90s, it shifted into this kind of like hip hop world. And I was a big skateboarder in the mid-ish late 90s. And so hearing Wu-Tang for the first time, it really shaped my kind of like one, it shaped my musical taste for hip hop music. And it also shaped my taste for skateboarding. And so then to come now 20 something odd years later and actually go see them live in concert was absolutely incredible. And it was everything that I thought it was going to be, which is 9 guys on stage just yelling at each other. And it was so much fun. It was incredible. It was really cool. Run the Jewels to me, though, stole the show.
Yeah.
Like their show is just so because like Wu-Tang, a lot of their songs are like very lyrically driven. They're very like because they have 9 like, again, they have 9 guys to rap on a song. So it's very lyrically driven and laid out. You know, so you do. It does kind of like get a little. It's not as much hype, but Run the Jewels from the start, from the first song to the last song, was like pure, just like energy. It was so, and it's 2 dudes. It's 2 dudes on stage and a DJ, and you would think that it was like a giant like rock band, like Kiss or something like that. You know?
It was. I've never seen them live, obviously, but I've watched their live performances, and you get that through the live performances. Like they were at Coachella 2 years ago and I was watching the live stream of that. And I was just like, man, they're good live.
Yeah. They're really good, dude. So such a good show. You know what? You know, it's a good show when I'm shirtless at the end.
Joey told me what he was doing at the end, but we won't say it on there. Joey gave me the rundown and I was like, what do you think you are? 25 years old.
Yeah, basically we all did. Me, him and Angie kind of like, went back in time a little bit.
Yeah.
Then the drive home was, I'm not going to put Joe on blast or anything, but my funny thing on the drive home was like after a lot of these shows, like we'll go to Jack in the Box and I always get, it's just a thing, right? After a show, go to Jack in the Box or something. I always get like 2 tacos and like a burger, right? Yeah. So we're like driving back to Joey's house and like they're just wanting to get there. And I'm like, hey guys, can we like stop at Jack in the Box? And the kind of no response. I'm just sitting in the back.
Oh, this is
like,
after the concert?
After the show, like going back to Joey's house. And I remember saying that I'm like sitting in the back and I'm like, you know, this neighborhood looks like it has a Jack in the Box somewhere in it. I bet they do. I did not get any Jack in the Box.
No?
No.
You just sort of Uber Eats'd it.
Right, right.
At 2 o'clock in the morning to Joey's house.
Just sitting out on the front lawn.
Yeah. It would have tasted. Imagine how good that would have been. When the Uber driver comes up and gives you your bag of tacos and chicken sandwiches, because that's what you order from Jack in the Box at 2 o'clock in the morning.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah,
100%. Just tacos and chicken sandwiches.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah. Not the good chicken sandwiches, the dollar chicken sandwiches.
Oh yeah, the bad ones. Yeah, yeah. I'm more of a double bacon cheeseburger kind of guy.
See,
bacon cheeseburger guy, but you know.
Yeah. See, when I used to do, you know, lots of drinking, and then the 2 o'clock in the morning after the bar or after going out, that type of thing. I just wanted the, I didn't want anything good on the menu.
Oh yeah, yeah.
I just wanted the dollar, a lot of those things.
Right, right.
Yeah.
So needless to say, we did not do any like filming of the trucks the day after. It just didn't work out. However, this is just only three people will get this. So near Joey's house, there's a French, his neighbor owns a French bakery, which is right around the corner from his house. If you ever go to his house, you got to go to this thing, man.
Like, he's never taken me there, and I've been to his house a few times, but I know his neighbor owned that, but he's never taken me.
Oh, well, maybe I'm special. I don't know.
You are but special.
These pastries are some of the most delicious, like real deal, like French pastries. They're amazing. It was totally, yeah. I'm like, I was like eating it. I'm like, oh my God. And then they're looking at me like, what, you never had anything good in your life before?
You're like, no, no.
I live in the high desert.
Yeah.
We have a donut shop.
Which is amazing, by the way. But there is something different
about it. It's not like a freaking handmade, fresh baked this morning French croissant with like this chocolate raspberry filling.
Yeah.
Absolutely incredible. But anyway. Anyway, a lot of fun. We just enjoyed the hell out of the show. I'm going to put Joey on blast about this a little bit. So, like a couple days later, he hits me up and he's like, oh man, he's like, I'm listening to the podcast. So he said, I had no idea you wanted to do a feature on the truck. And I was like, oh yeah, you know, stuff doesn't work out. And then I said, yeah. And then, Brian said that, you know, you're going to get some work done on your truck. So I kind of figured, well, you know, why shoot it twice or whatever. And then he listens to the rest of the episode and he goes, oh man, you're talking, cause I was kind of talking crap about him a little bit. So then he's like live texting me as he's listening to the episodes.
Yes.
And then so last week's episode is 164 about when I sold the 4Runner, and I was joking with him like, man, wait till you get to the next episode. There's a huge surprise. But anyway, but no, Joey's great. Had an incredible time. Him and Jamie are just such gracious hosts, and they just go totally out of their way to make you feel like, you know, something special. When actually, to be honest with you, Joey's the special one.
He is.
We're just
he's special because he does that, though.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Yeah, I figured the reason I have never had that pastry place is because I don't stay at Joey's house. I just drive home.
Yeah, you just bounce. Which is exactly what you did at Unfinished Business. You were like,
all of us did.
Yeah, you're just like, we're out.
Yeah,
which is not bad, because from there it's only what, 4 hours from?
Yeah, 4.5 hours.
You know, yeah, that's actually not bad.
You stop once and then, you know, you get there. But, you know, then the rest of the guys, Jeff lives on the other side of Phoenix, like an hour and a half away. That's
true. It's okay for you.
Yeah. And if anyone wants to stay here, go ahead. But this is where I, this is,
this my, is all there. This is where the support ends.
In fact, on the way out there, Will, you know, he was towing with his F-150. Mm-hmm. And I was towing the Maverick, towing the little trailer, and it was packed to the gills, you know. Mm-hmm. It's probably maxed, it's definitely maxed out. And he's like, how fast do you drive that thing towing? And I was like, like 70.
Mm-hmm.
But on the way out there, it was windy.
Oh, and so I was like, rocky roller.
He's like, hey, like we get to courtside. He's like, hey, can we step it up a little bit? And I'm like,
you're like, hey, buddy.
I'm like, sorry. He's like, we were doing like 55. And I'm like, yeah, I know. It was just, he's like, diesel trucks were passing us. I'm like, Will, I'm used to diesel trucks passing me. I drive slow.
Right.
Like they blow by me all. But then it was funny because then we get into California where the speed limit's less and I'm going faster.
Because there's no wind.
There's, well, except until we got into Indio and Palm Springs.
Oh,
and
well, it was like, that's always,
I couldn't, like that thing was like 50%, 75% power. And it was going like, I was doing like 60 at the most.
Oh, wow.
Like, yeah, I could have floored it and gone faster, but like, and I was only getting like 10 miles to the gallon in that
thing. In the Maverick?
And pushing against that wind.
Damn, yeah.
But then on the way home, I made it all the way home with the tank of gas I filled up in Banning with on the way there.
Oh, wow. That's pretty good.
Because the wind was pushing us back to Arizona.
Right.
There was a time when I had, my foot was not even on the gas. It was pushing me 70 miles an hour.
That's crazy.
Yeah, it was freaking wild. So.
Heck yeah. That's cool, man. Yeah. So, from the vendor experience, was it a good show for vending?
It was good.
That's good. That's cool. And then, that was one funny thing when I was like leaving my shirts there. I'm like, so are you going to like take care of these things? You're like, no, get those out of here.
No, no.
I thought that was hilarious.
I don't even know how many drop shirts we sold.
Oh, I know. Yeah. Cause Angie sold a couple of them and she's like, does the drum money just go in Brian's box? And I'm like, well,
usually
yeah,
we have an envelope.
Right. And she's like, no, I just stuffed it in there. I was like,
she just pushed. I kind of guessed whatever. And just took money out of my total and threw it in the drop account.
You're
and
like,
I
was like, something like that.
That looks fine.
Yeah. That's fine. Yeah. It'll all come out in the wash.
Yeah, exactly.
But yeah. So now the truck stuff.
Now the meat and to potatoes. Get to your little, the Forerunner's gone.
Mm-hmm.
That discussion has been had.
Yep.
It's over with. And it's now on to this next part. The in-between part, the limbo part.
Yeah. Which is quite frankly, a little nerve wracking.
Yeah.
Cause
yeah,
like now
I can, well, yeah.
I'm like sitting here. I don't have a truck. You know, that so going into
very similar to when you did have a truck, though.
I mean, yeah, but at least in the back of my head, I was like,
I know that's what I'm saying.
It's like, yeah,
yeah. You could pretend it's still in the garage.
Well, at least I know I have it. Like,
yeah, I know.
I have
now
a
you
truck.
Fit. Now it's like you don't have it.
Yeah.
And you're like, man, I'm
it's
not
a
even
weird feeling.
Part of this thing anymore. Like I'm like a fraud.
Yeah. Yeah. I know. That's no, seriously. That's exactly how it feels. Kind of.
Yeah.
Cause I'm just like, you know, one of, and I'll put myself on blast a little bit, like during this whole process, even as, cause you and I have discussed at length about doing all these things. And even back then, you know, I was like, my biggest fear was not losing the Forerunner. My biggest fear was something happening and losing, like not having a truck, which I know sound like if you really look at it logically, like that's probably not going to happen because this is what we do. Like we wouldn't let that happen. We would figure out some way how to accomplish the goal, but there's still that little thing in the back of your head that like, what if this doesn't work out, you know? And I just don't have anything. And then the club is like, well,
you just slowly get forgotten.
Yeah.
And then
just
people
fade
just,
into obscurity,
just fade into the job at Home Depot.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
But no, but I don't think, obviously, like I said, I don't think that's going to happen because we can't let that happen basically.
Yeah.
So here I am truckless. But I have parts. I have now acquired a few parts for a truck I don't even own yet. And I won't go to, so I'm going to, also in, now that we're in the beginning of all this, I'm going to like lay the ground rules out like you similarly did. I'm not going to put everything on blast here.
Yeah.
It'll come out in the videos. Like, well, yeah, I have some parts, but I'm not going to say like what exactly or how I got
them. We
can
just talk about the experience up to this point. And then when you do get the vehicle, that's when you start your video making process and the things come out on the video
and then
we'll
talk
about
it. Yep, exactly.
Yeah. But so, you have a very set of boxes that you need checked for this new vehicle.
Which got narrower as time went on, because when I started this like journey, or that's a weird way to say it, but when I started looking for trucks, it was like kind of a little more broad. 01 to 04, white or silver, extra cab, clean. Like an automatic. Like I feel dumb saying that because it's like people are like, well, you don't have a drive stick. No, it's for other purposes.
Trust me, when you going through these builds now, like going through the red truck, what we're doing with the red truck right now,
mm-hmm.
which that video should be out. It might be out the same day this one is or tomorrow, being Monday. Tomorrow mm-hmm. will be Tuesday.
Right.
I should have a video on that. But going through what we're going through on that now, it's like, yeah, you want to like. If you don't need a stick, don't get a stick. Just get automatic.
Yeah, because it kind of takes a lot. And I don't know quite the way to say it, because when people ask me about it, I said, well, oh, it's easier to bag. It's not necessarily easier. It's just less of figuring out stuff.
It's essentially easier to body drop.
Right. Yeah. And that's what I. But I didn't want to like discount what Panda does by saying it's easy, because I couldn't do it.
It's cheaper. It's going to be.
It's cheaper. Yeah.
Shorter time length that it's gone.
Mm-hmm.
Less things to figure out. And it's just, you don't need a stick shift.
Right.
You know, I like a stick shift for the sportiness version of it and, you know, zipping around and stuff like that. But now that I got that automatic, that 94,
mm-hmm.
I'm like, this is amazing.
Yeah. Yeah.
This is cool.
Well, especially for what I want to do with it. Like you're driving your Tacoma, you know, for fun. I mean, you know what I mean? But like this, like the truck that I envision building is like, I want to drive it like long distances and take it to shows and, you know, do everything I said I was going to do with the Forerunner, but didn't do.
Yeah. I think about long distance, not even the automatic being the benefit of that.
Oh, really?
I think the automatic being the benefit of sitting. Think about sitting at the cruise lanes in Maggie Valley.
Oh, yeah. That's true.
Think about sitting in traffic going to the Pink Motel show.
Right.
think about that stuff. That's when your stick shift gets tiring. Not on long trips, because once you're zoom, 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 you're in fifth. You're never shifting.
You're just going.
It's when you're sitting in that traffic and you're just like, my leg.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You're just like, oh, and then you take it out of first and they put it back. It's just a thing.
Yeah. No. Yeah. So yeah, definitely an automatic. So that was like kind of the more broad scope. And last weekend I had basically three candidates, and we don't have to go into a bunch of detail, but basically one was like, well, just like two, like three different versions, like the worst one, the middle one, and then the best one. And by the end of, not even the end of the day, because the truck sold halfway through the day, but after a few hours of talking to a lot of people, I'm like, I need to go for the best one. Like, that's the one that I want. And then this person sold it. So that kind of like narrowed the search too. So now it's an 01 to 04 silver. Like, I want a silver truck, extra cab, auto, super clean, and a particular interior. Because like going through all the motions of looking at all these different trucks is, there are two different center consoles. There's a soft center console, which is like fabric, and it's like a 60-40 bench.
It's a 60-40, and then the captain chairs with the hard.
Right, yeah. So it's like bucket seats and like a hard console is the one that I'm looking for. And Hyman was saying that was like a pre-runner thing. But it's so it's like, I think it's just an option.
I think it's maybe the SR5
trim. I think that's what it is. I think that's exactly what it is, because the SR5 also has those white gauges with a tack.
Yeah.
So like every like that combination I've seen with that console, bucket seats and a console, has the white gauges with a tack. So
it's fun to learn. It's fun to learn about the different trims in these trucks.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, I learned, you know, Tacoma started in 95 and a half and went to 2004, and I learned everything that from 95 and a half to the mid of 97 was the same. And then mid 98, they changed a bunch of stuff.
Right.
And then they finding the things that they different, and then the different trim levels that they offered is really interesting to me. And then now I'm learning that with the 89 to 95s, you know, I knew a lot of these things, but I never knew all of these things.
Right.
So finding out about that is fun.
Yeah. And also that's like the nerdy part that I like about it. Cause I was like that with Mazdas and stuff. And also what's interesting is 89, 95, and also the first gen Tacomas, they're a 95 and a half to an 04 is essentially the same truck, but it's interesting how they evolved in that little time span, how an 04 is so really vastly different from a 96 or, you know,
Like if you take a 95 and a half, 96 extra cab truck, and you put it next to a 2004 extra cab truck, and they were both brand new, there was so many different, all the climate controls were different. Mm-hmm. And then in the motor, you don't have a distributor. You know what I mean?
That's a difference on the motors, huh? The older ones have a distributor. Motors.
Yeah. Mm. And then, there's those small differences that were advancing in that time frame of vehicles,
but still in this first gen configuration.
Still the same chassis, still the same suspension, still the same transmissions, still the same motors. The motors were identical. You had 2.4 and a 2.7, and the 2.7s came in the pre-runners and the four-wheel drives.
Okay, that's the difference.
And the 2.4s all came in the two-wheel drives.
Mm-hmm.
You cannot get a two-wheel drive with the 2.7 unless it's overseas. I think in Australia and other countries, they didn't get a 2.4. They only got a 2.7.
Are those all six lug trucks, or are they five lug trucks too?
No, they're all five lug trucks.
In Australia, they're all five
four
lugs?
They're all five lugs. And the only six lug ones are the four wheel drives.
I've seen some two wheel drive ones that are on pre runner chassis that are six lug.
Well, maybe the pre runners are six lug too.
I'm saying. That pre runner package, even the two wheel drives are six lugs.
Okay.
Because a couple of people sent me, check out the super clean, you know, something. Yeah. And I'm like, oh, that's a six lug. Can't work with it.
It's also on a four wheel drive frame, I think.
I think there are. So, I think it's different? Like the Forerunner, where the two wheel drives, four wheel drives are the same frames, you know?
Yeah. But yeah, so learning about all those trims is definitely, you know, like mine's a 97. I wish I had a 98.
I thought yours was a 98 the whole time.
No, 97.
And yours is early
97.
So it's the older climate controls, the sliders.
It's a sliders. Mm-hmm. It's got a different windshield wiper motor that, like, I can go and get a wiper motor off of Amazon. I cannot get it for my year.
Mm.
So like you know, just these small things that I'm finding.
Yeah, it's really interesting. It's really cool, and it's kind of fun, you know, to learn all these different things. Because
it's good to know.
Oh yeah,
know,
for
like,
sure.
It's good to know, especially if you come across like certain parts for certain years. You just hold. You could be like, oh, that's super common. You could buy it on Amazon or Rock Auto, but that you cannot buy. So I'm going to hold on to that.
And so yeah, and so now seeing that super clean one has set the bar for exactly what I want.
You know what messed you up on that was seeing the other two. The other two, so you had three Tacomas, right? You had low mileage, clean, expensive one. You had the middle one, which they're all three were clean, but they're at different price points for different reasons.
Right.
And you were looking at the other two and you're like, well, why is that one? So I don't need to buy the expensive one. But then you start looking at the other two and you're just like, oh, now I know why this one's expensive. Right. And it's worth the money to buy that to not... all that stuff. And
yeah,
but yeah, and then now you're looking at, you keep sending me white ones and I'm like, just get the one you want, don't settle.
We kind of decided that yesterday.
Yeah, your mind goes like you said, you're missing out.
Well, it's because in my mind I see a silver extra cap when every time I see this truck in my head, it's silver, it's not white. And so every time I look at a white one I go, oh, but when I see a silver I'm like, oh, you know what I mean? It's just that little like difference in attitude, you know?
Yeah. So if anyone's out there that has a silver 2001 to 2004 automatic, those are the ones to send Frank.
Yes. Extra cap. Well, obviously extra cap and bucket seats and a hard console.
Yeah.
That's the one. And cause like, I don't know. Cause like the 60/40 benches still have like the pistol grip, like selector, but their cup holders are a lot smaller, but it just looks so like, it looks like futuristic with the hard console. It just all flows together.
It's something I never noticed until you pointed it out. Yeah. You're like, cause I sent you that one. You're like, it's got the wrong center console. I'm on the wrong center.
You're
console.
Like, what?
So I look, oh, I never knew that.
Yeah. Yeah. So yeah. So that's all of the criteria. And, I found a couple, now my adventures on Facebook Marketplace have been interesting. I'm brand new to this scene, so I'm sure everybody else is very well versed in it. I've made a couple mistakes along the way. One, obviously not jumping. Like, I realized that when that day it comes and it pops up and it's the one, I'm just going to go get that truck.
Yeah. It doesn't matter what's happening that night.
Right.
At your house. It doesn't matter. You go,
I have to go.
I'm leaving.
Yeah.
And the other thing is just go. Don't plan anything. Like and you can't go. Like if it's the one, find out who lives near there and just drive over there, pick the truck up, make the paperwork, drive that truck over to your buddy's house, park it there, and then have them go get your car.
And then I'll be back to get this.
Yeah. You got to jump on these things because it's very rare that someone will hold something for you.
Right.
Because
because
everyone ghosts everything. You know what I mean? So it's like, it's first come, first serve.
I'm trying to figure out, and I want to find out your opinion on this, is like the etiquette. Okay, so I find the one I want. Let's say it's 10-5, right? This is just for hypothetical. It's 10-5. What's your first move? Like, how do you approach the person? Because I've learned you don't hit the, like, hi, is this available button, like the auto.
Yeah, you erase that and you go, hey, how's it going? I'm interested in this. So it makes you, like, not.
It humanizes you a little bit.
Also, it's just like that are you available thing. It gets annoying even though. It's like the thumbs up. It shouldn't be annoying, but it is annoying type thing. So there's two different types of people when it comes to
this is what I
Facebook
need to know.
Marketplace.
Yes.
And I know both of them because they both send me screenshots of how they react to people that lowball them.
Okay.
Right. And they talk crap back to them. And I'm like, guy, it is Marketplace. They're supposed to offer you the cheapest possible. They're trying to get the best deal. You're trying to get the best deal. So if they lowball you, that's part of the game.
You're talking about the people who, okay, I'm selling a thing for 10-5. Someone says, hey, will you take 9? And you're like, what are you, stupid kind of thing?
Yes.
Yes. Yes. Okay.
But there's some people that will offer you 5. Right. Okay. And so as the person selling, you're like, are you? And then you start to explain yourself. You're like, bro, this Tacoma. It's low mile. It's clean. Look at all these other ones. It's like that person doesn't care.
Right, right. They're just cruising.
They're just out there to see what they can get a deal on.
I don't know if you've seen the TikTok account that just does that. Like he doesn't even look at. He just scrolls. You're like, will you take $300 for it? Will you take? Yeah. So it could just be that scenario too.
Yeah. I have a friend that sells a lot on Marketplace, whether it's musical instruments, bikes, air ride parts, all this stuff. And he's constantly sending me screenshots of his reaction to people lowballing him.
Uh-huh.
And it's funny. And then, but I'm like, you know, it's their job to get the best price. But as a serious buyer, what do you like? You're like, well, what do I offer this guy? Cause I like, say it's 10-5. You don't want to offer him $9,500 because what if he'll take nine?
Right. Yeah. And that's the point where I'm at. So do you just like hit him up like, hey man, I'm really interested in this, and then go negotiate in person. But then what about the truck is like kind of far away, and like,
you have, this is how I approach things. Like, so when I bought that 94,
uh-huh.
It was $6,000. It was worth every bit of $6,000
mm-hmm.
compared to all these other things. Right. You know? So when I went out there, I took $6,000. And when I got there, drove around, I was like, all right, cool. I was like, will you take $5,500? I'm that type of person that I don't like lowballing because I feel weird.
Right.
I'm not the, you know, I'm not the guy that'll just try to like offer you four. Mm-hmm. I feel bad about it. But there's people that get really good deals and don't feel bad about it. And they shouldn't feel bad about it, because if I would have offered the guy four, why would I feel bad if he said yes?
Right. Yeah, right.
I don't know.
Yeah.
It's this weird thing. So say the truck's 10-5. And you can ask the guy, hey, are you open to or best offer?
Mm-hmm.
If they say yeah, then just take 10, because you know at least they're going to take 10.
Right.
But don't offer them 10. You know, be like driving around. And then you just ask yourself like, okay, well, these super clean ones are going for like 10. And the not so clean ones are going for 8. You know, will you take 9? You know, like.
But again, you do that. Do you do that negotiating in person?
Yeah, in person.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because when it comes to this truck that you're searching for, the person, 60% of the people know what they have.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that whole, I know what I got.
Right.
Some people do. Some people don't. Some people luck out on the guy that doesn't know what he has and will just take whatever money comes at him.
Mm-hmm.
And then the guy that knows what he has, like that dude that in Bakersfield that had that really clean one,
mm-hmm.
they will be like, yeah, I'm not going to take less than this.
Right.
You know, because this truck is, he knows he'll get it tomorrow.
Yeah. And he did. Yeah, he did.
So you have to kind of look at that and go, you know, there's the all your boxes are checked, but then there's the other boxes. Low mileage. You can tell the paint's nice. It's been taken care of.
Mm-hmm.
The person you're talking to is not a piece of crap. You can kind of,
we're going
to
go into that too. Cause I've recently found out you can click on the person's profile as well. And that,
yes.
And that gives you a pretty good, for example, yeah. The guy that was selling this truck that I missed, you click on his profile, he's old man, like on a boat with his grandson. It's like, that's the guy.
Yeah. And let me just tell you, everyone out there, that your Facebook profile speaks volumes about you.
Oh, yes. Yes. And so, and without going into great detail, I've sent you those and I'm like, this one seems a bit weird. And you're like, yeah, that seems a bit weird.
Yeah. And even just the type of person you are, like,
right.
If I click on your profile and you're just sharing a bunch of crazy stuff,
mm-hmm.
I'm not coming to your house. Yeah. I'm not doing nothing. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, it's just like, I don't know. It's just, it's like almost like a quick credit check.
A quick credit, yeah.
On the type of person you are.
A societal credit check.
Yeah.
You know, it's funny because I'm asking all these questions, and it seems like, you know, I've bought and sold cars since I was young. We all have, like in our scene, we've bought and sold a lot of cars, but things have changed, and I'm trying mm-hmm. to, you know, I have not done that for a really long time. When I was, I've mentioned way in the beginning of the podcast that my family had a car lot, and we used to buy and sell all the time. It used to be way different back then, and I was a lot more shrewd, you know, back then. So if something came up for sale, and this was back in the day of like, you go into the newspaper and look for ads and stuff.
Yeah.
You know, and I would call them up and be like, I would always offer him half right off the bat. Whatever the price was, half. Because like you said, you don't know. I've got yelled at a lot. Many, many times got yelled at a lot. But, you know, so I'm just trying to adapt to this new world of buying and selling because I have not done it for so long.
Yeah. And it's funny because I have been looking for a vehicle too.
Mm-hmm.
And but not something I need. It's more something that I'm going to need in a year from now. But if something comes along at the right price now, then I can do it. And a thing, I think I mentioned this last week, but a Titan XD became available. Or, you know, whatever. And it was at the Ford dealership, like not too far from here.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like $23,000.
It's a smoking
for
deal.
A 2021 with 75,000 miles on it. Wild. Heated seats, power, everything. And I was like, oh, it wasn't the color I wanted. It was blue. But I'm like, I could live with blue.
Right.
Right. So I'm like, message them. I was like, hey, is this? And they're like, yeah, we still have it. Do you want to set an appointment? I said, yeah, let's set an appointment for tomorrow at noon. I got to go down there anyways in that area. Cool. Go down there. Sit down. Yeah, we sold that yesterday.
And I'm yesterday.
Like, last night. And wow. I'm like, okay. And he's like, well, we have another Titan. I was like, no, I want this specific 2020 to 2024. This. Mm-hmm. Okay. And so I left. And then now I'm in this space where I'm like, now I just want one. I was okay about buying this one. So I'm just going to buy this one.
Right.
So then this other one came online. There's this dealer out here called liftedtrucks.com, and they sell all these bro trucks, you know?
Like, oh, yeah.
And but they had a Titan, and it was still had a factory warranty on it, still all this stuff. But it was like $7,000 more than the other one.
Oh, wow.
And the reason I wanted the other one, because it was that.
Yeah, that's a great price
point that I could afford.
Yeah.
And this one was not it was still a thing. Like, it wasn't that far off.
Right. But you had already set up in your mind what you wanted to do.
Yeah. Right. But in my mind now, I'm just like, well, I can afford another $125 a month. Mm-hmm. And it had half the mileage, and it was the color I wanted, and it was all this stuff. Mm-hmm. So I available. Yep. All right. Come down. I'll be there at 8 o'clock in the morning tomorrow.
Yeah.
Go down there. Sold it last night.
Oh my God.
And on the way there, driving
this story would end with, and there's a brand new Titan sitting in the driveway.
Nope. Driving down there, I was like, in my head, I was running numbers. Uh-huh. I was like, my insurance is going to be way more. My registration is going to be way more. Because the Titan is like free.
Yeah.
There's no car payments. Mm-hmm. The insurance is like nothing. The registration is nothing. Mm-hmm. You know, and if the motor blows, it's like $2,000. You know, like all this stuff. But in my head, I'm like, I'm driving to Georgia to pick up a 4,500 pound trailer. That's, you know, all this stuff. And not like it can't do it, but I'm driving to Georgia. I'm not driving to Southern California.
Right.
Or 100 miles away. I'm driving the other side of the country. If this thing pops on the other side of the country, what am I going to do? I'm buying a truck on the other side of the country. You know, like.
Yeah, yeah.
But on the way down there, I kind of talked myself out of it.
Oh, okay. So,
when he said it was sold, I was like, oh,
almost
cool.
Like a relief.
I was like, thank you. Uh-huh. Because at that point, I was like, I'm just going to buy this thing. No, I'm doing it. No. Yeah. No. So when he said, I was like, no. And then when I left, I was like, no, I'm not going to buy one.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not even going to. But I still look for them.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
Like, I still look. So like, yeah. Like when you sold your truck and that silver one got away and now you're looking for, you're like, oh, I could do a white one. Oh, I could do a soft center console,
mm-hmm.
or I could do this. It's like, no, find the thing you want.
And you know what's wild? And this is where I need some advice, and you can offer me advice out here in this public setting. So the one in Irvine is the one.
Yeah, it's I don't understand everything. Why you don't go down there and look at that.
Because I'm in this weird headspace, right? Let me explain. I'm in this weird headspace because I lost the other one. I have now set this high standard for exactly what I want. This truck doesn't meet those high standards, but it is there. So am I settling for this one?
But
it's
what
also way cheaper.
Yeah. What doesn't it? What standards does not that one meet? Does it have the bright center console? It's the right color.
Uh-huh.
How many miles are on it?
Not even like, so a lot of these, you know, 250, two, this has 214,000 miles on it.
Okay. So.
Right? Like $3,500 cheaper. Than the nice one. And I can probably get it for less because, so here's the rub.
Yeah.
The one that makes you go, but it's worth to go look at it is it has been on Marketplace for 3 months.
Yeah.
You know, why? Why has it been sitting there? Just.
Well, why don't you call Eric and just grab Eric and have him go down there?
That's what Angie said. She's like, why don't you have Eric go with you? And I was like, well, you know, I'm
you're probably, I'm a big boy. It would probably be fun for him.
Yeah. I'm going to, now that you said that. Not Angie suggesting it. Now that you said that, sure.
Sorry, Angie.
Yeah.
I got pull over here.
Yeah. No, but yeah, I don't know why either. Because like,
yeah, maybe. I don't, because you keep sending me these things. Like, you sent me one in Santa Rosa.
I know.
Which is north of San Francisco.
Right. It's like 9 hours away.
Like 9 hours away. It was more expensive than that one. Had body damage.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, what are you doing?
I know. And there's one right here, like an hour and a half away.
Yeah. And at least you can go down there and go, nope, don't want it.
At least, at least I could physically see it in person.
Yeah. But imagine if you're like pumped right now and then you go to look at it and it's sold.
Oh my God. I don't know what that'll do. It'll do like same thing that happened to you. I think it would ruin my psyche for a little while. This whole thing is kind of like ruined my psyche.
Yeah. When you're picky about a vehicle, which you should be picky about a vehicle, because this is your next one you're going to have forever,
mm-hmm.
you know, or for a very long time at least, you know, you have to be picky about it.
Yeah.
And so,
and that's sort of where I'm at, is because like, I know I'm going to be using this thing. You know what I mean?
You're going to be in this thing for a long time.
Right.
And you want it to be reliable,
mm-hmm.
because you could throw your whole booth in this truck. You know, like I do in the Maverick. I fit in a smaller bed that is you're going to have in this Toyota in that Maverick. So essentially you could do the same thing.
Oh yeah, for sure. And that's what that's the vision that I have in my head about.
Yeah. So like, I mean, how sick would that be?
I know.
That's to drive a bagged body drop truck to Arizona with your booth in the bed of it.
That's what I see. I see a silver truck on the Alba Banks, like body drop, just everything, just all coming together.
Tailgate down with your easy up on the tailgate and then like all your boxes strapped up in there. Like,
oh yeah, it's going to be dope.
Wah. Yeah.
So I just got to find the right one and maybe, I'm going to do that. I'm going to just, it's worth just a few couple hours to just go check it out. It could be complete crap, but we'll see.
Yeah. Next episode. Just keeping checking marketplace, keeping checking. And obviously
here's another thing that's interesting, effect that's happening is like, this would be very strange. It's like kind of making me sick. I've been obsessively checking marketplace. Obsessively.
Yeah.
And now I just scroll and scroll and it's the same trucks. It's literally the same dozen.
How many trucks. And you click on the same trucks
and
all the time.
Click on them over and over and over and over again. Where it's like I feel like it makes my stomach hurt a little bit. I'm like, I don't feel so good. I need to get away. I'm dreaming about them. I'm sleeping, dreaming about buying trucks, going to look at trucks.
That's
amazing. It's a whole experience, man. Yeah. It's been a whole freaking experience.
It's cool though. That's cool.
Like, I'm having
this
fun.
This will be all part of the story. And when mm-hmm. you go look at that one in Irvine, make sure you take your camera.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah.
For sure. And make sure you document, like, even if you don't buy it, you're like, okay, looking at the one in Irvine,
mm-hmm.
this one has this many miles on it, you know, da da. And then
I'm already going to be halfway down there and be in Riverside on Sunday at a softball game. So
just go. Yeah.
I'm just again, almost there.
You know, when you were that Bakersfield one, you're like, yeah, I'm just like, you got to go get it. Mm-hmm. You just tell the guy you're on your way.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it doesn't matter what it is. There's not many things. There's many things that are more important than this truck, which is everything in mm-hmm. your life, right? Your family, your softball. But you could miss half a softball game. You could, you know what I mean?
Like, I get the sentiment. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. So like, because once you get it, how happy are you? Like, imagine if you had that Bakersfield one right now, how happy you would be.
Yeah, I know. I can't wait. Which is also like also the fault too, because I can't wait. And what about if I, you know what I mean?
Get the wrong one.
But if you get one
and you're all happy and you're driving home and the transmission fails.
Yeah. But on the other side of the coin, like all of this, the things that I might be worried about are all fixable things. Like it's
all
like
fixable things.
It's not like the motor blows up and I'm like, oh well, I'm out the game. And you just don't go get a new motor.
Especially when you save $3,500 on the price.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So make your baseline $10,000.
Mm-hmm.
And then go, okay, I'm six, but I'm worried about the motor.
So that's
but
the
it
that's
still the runs, thing. But you still have the four.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, it could just never happen.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. This Irvine one could be just waiting for me. It's all, well, I'll be here when you're ready.
The only reason I can think that one hasn't like been sold is maybe it's got a bad catalytic converter or maybe because
I was
lot
thinking
of times,
transmission. Because like when I really so the other like kind of like evolution that I went through was one just clicking on them, looking at them, and this sounds stupid, but bear with me. Like looking at them, it wasn't until like a couple days ago I started reading the descriptions thoroughly, and then that's when I started finding out that the real cheap ones. One guy was like, truck's in great shape, mechanically sound, passes smog. You do have to wait 10 minutes for the transmission to warm up before it moves. And I'm like, oh, here we are. These are the little things that I'm not thinking about, mm-hmm. you know? So, I mean,
but then you got to realize like, does that person know, has he taken it to a mechanic? Does he know, is it low on fluid? Is it da, 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 da?
It like, could be a bunch of things.
It could be anything. I mean, mm-hmm. and again, transmission rebuild I don't know how much it is to rebuild those transmissions, but I'm assuming it's around $2,000.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, so, yeah, and that's the thing, isn't it? If I plan on building this truck and utilizing it for what I want to utilize for, these things are gonna have to happen anyway at some point. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Because I'm not going to get a brand new truck. These trucks do have miles on them.
Look at your 4Runner.
Mm-hmm.
How many miles did that have on it?
Yeah, 220-something thousand.
And it was fine.
Yeah. Yeah, I know.
Totally fine.
Yeah.
So, yeah, a lot of, like, I read a couple. I there was one really cheap. It wasn't any of the criteria you wanted, but it was like $3,000.
Yeah, I've seen
that. And the dude was like, didn't pass smog, don't want it.
Mm. Oh, just that. Like, just that one thing. Just
didn't pass smog. And you're just like, okay, well, why didn't it pass smog? There's only very few things that'll make a Tacoma not pass smog.
Right.
And it's usually they just don't want to spend the money to figure it out.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah. Well, it's a journey, man, and I'm just moving along on it. And we're just reporting back to everybody exactly what happened.
Yeah. So now that everyone listening knows your criteria, don't send Frank a gold truck. Don't send Frank a white truck. Nope. Don't send Frank a 98. You know,
60/40 bench.
No 60/40 bench.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and not one that's beat up.
Yep. That's pretty much it.
Yeah.
Wait, are you there? You're getting a little glitchy. Am I there? Yeah, you're there. What's happening? Oh,
I don't know.
Hold on. Wait. Shit.
Oh, your computer's gonna die.
Yeah, it is about to. It's on 6%. There it goes. Let's see. Is that gonna?
Are we good?
Yeah, we're good now.
Okay.
Yeah, I forgot that that's one of the signs that it's about to die. Is it starts getting all glitchy on the FaceTime. But no, we're about good. To
just next time you come out, I'm just gonna give you my 2015 Mac because I don't use it.
Okay.
Literally, don't use it.
Right. Yeah. Sure.
Yeah. I don't know if that'll help me edit too, because yours is all I gotta always chop down your audio so many millions of times.
Oh, even still.
Yeah.
Oh well, maybe. Yeah.
It's not as bad. It's not as bad, but it's like there's no these big hiccups. It's just. It's like the audio and the video track line up perfectly lengthwise, but the audio drifts.
Yeah.
Oh, and I got to chop it, bring it back. Drift, chop it, bring it back.
Oh, well.
Chop it, bring it back.
Well, yeah, then definitely. if that helps.
I'm not doing anything with
it. So. If it helps you at your end. But
what else was I going to say? Oh, I don't know.
We got a little, just a little thing I wanted to chew on the last bit of us talking. I thought it was kind of interesting. We got a message. It's not a question or anything, so we don't need to drop it in, but I thought it was kind of interesting. Travis McGuire sent us an Instagram message. He says, "Hey guys, just listened to Frank selling his 4Runner episode. Got me thinking back in the scene when you bought a truck already built. We called it a TV dinner. Is that still a thing?" I was like thinking about that. I'm like, I have heard that term before.
Yeah, I mean, it's a very common thing.
Yeah, but I never got that. What does it mean exactly? Is it because it was already made? Because
it's already prepared for you. You didn't go and make the food from scratch.
But way I interpreted it was like it was cheap. Like you bought it and it was like cheap.
It was just made. It's prepared. It's already made. Just
like pre-made. Okay.
Yeah, it's pre-made. So you know, you buy a TV dinner. Most people that say that have either never had to sell a truck because you don't make fun of the person buying your truck.
Right.
Right? You just make fun of the dude over there that bought a truck that's already done, that drove it to a show and is proud of driving it around. So like there's just, it's,
what does it go back to? What we always talk about is just justifying what you do. So the people who say that, I mean, cause they've never done that. So they don't know. So they're just justifying their choice and building whatever they're doing. You know,
there's some people that do buy already done trucks and act a certain way, you know, and it kind of ruins it for the other people that buy the trucks and don't act that way. But at the end of the day who cares?
Yeah. It doesn't
matter. If I'm going to buy a truck that's already done, I made that choice. It doesn't affect you at all.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
So go ahead and talk. You can go talk behind my back to your buddies. That's totally fine.
Mm-hmm.
We do it all the time. We talk about people behind their backs. Like, you know,
Just part of the
make
process.
Our opinions known. Like, you know, all that stuff. But, yeah, it doesn't matter. But yeah, I think the TV dinner thing is, I haven't heard that saying in a long time, but
I've heard it once or twice. I just went one of those things. I'm like, oh, okay. But I never really thought about it. And I was putting some thought into it. I'm like,
the only message on the, cause I didn't check the Instagram.
Yeah, that's the only one.
Okay.
Send us more messages. What happened? Everybody sent it. They probably, cause
we
never
don't
reply.
Post on,
yeah,
we don't never post reply. On Instagram. They're like,
we're not, screw it. I'm not even going to try. These fools don't even talk about it. So
yeah.
hey,
sorry. We're real busy.
Yeah, after you just got to say, oh, doing shit, man.
I ain't doing nothing. Yeah, so what's some upcoming events?
Well, that's a good question. I don't have any notes or anything written down.
I got my calendar.
What are guest episodes?
Yeah, so we'll talk about that post pod, but okay. Well, we got to figure that out. But this whole trailer trip is gonna throw a kink in the armor.
Right, right.
But I'm gonna come out for the club barbecue.
Oh, nice. Oh, cool.
So maybe depending on when I get back from this thing, if I can come out a day early or something.
Yeah.
I don't know what you're doing the 18th.
That's a Friday?
No, that's a Friday.
Yeah. I don't know. Probably not much. I can work it out. Not a lot going on.
If we could like knock two guest episodes out, that'll get us through the end of July. Because your trip and I'll be gone again.
Oh, that's true. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Let's try to do that. And let's try to do maybe three. Well, that might
three
be
in a day.
Oh, three in a day. Oh yeah. No. Two in a day.
Or we could do two and then one before the barbecue.
I don't know. We'll see. We'll work it out.
Yeah, we'll figure it out. This is what I was going to talk about on post. But
no, it's fine. We can hash out a little bit here. Be ready to possibly go to... you want to drive straight back that night, or will you want to hang out a little bit and go to a show with me in L.A.?
When are you leaving? Because I don't want to leave the barbecue early.
I don't know. That's a good question. We'll work that part out.
Yeah, because last year the barbecue went till 9, but everyone kind of fiddled out of there around 7.
Yeah, I think about the time. I don't think the show starts until 8 or so. So.
Oh, cool. Yeah, maybe I'll go. I don't know. We'll see.
Yeah,
we'll see. Because this trip is gonna be a big trip, and then I got the trip to SenCal the following weekend.
What are you doing up there?
That slowdown.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, and that's when I'll be gone.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So we'll see.
We'll work out the details. Yeah. But hey, at least we pushed it to an hour. Good job.
Yeah, we did. But some upcoming shows. So yeah. I will be at Southeastern Truck Nationals in Lebanon, Tennessee. So if you're going out to that, come and hang out. I'm also going. There'll be a little surprise in there. I'm going to make a video about this whole trip. I'm getting some seats done for my truck for the Tacoma.
Cool. Heck yeah.
Yep. So I'm going to throw that in there and talk about that. That's a very interesting story, but I'll talk about it at a later.
Yeah,
date.
Make the video
whole thing. The guy that's doing the seats and how we met, and then where he like. Yeah, I was on a phone call with him today for like an hour. It was cool.
That's awesome.
And then club barbecue. And then I will be at C10 Slowdown. Mm-hmm. And then C10 Intervention. Are you going?
We're going to Intervention both to that. And that would be, I don't know, we'll talk about that later. But anyway, but yes, we're both going to C10 Intervention. Intervention.
Okay. I think Lindsay's coming to that one too.
Oh, cool.
I think. I'm not sure.
Cool. I love that one because you have to come out my way and pick me up.
Yeah,
that's my favorite. It used to be we used to do that with the Oregon show, with the Relaxed Atmosphere show. That went away, but now I like that one.
Yeah, I know. And I get to you and drop you off, and I'm like,
"Yep, now you got another 5-hour drive."
Yeah. All right. Yeah. So that's a bunch of stuff coming up. Anything?
The only thing I got to bring up is go to our websites and buy merch.
Yeah,
I've now joined your part of like having to build these trucks and pay for them now. So please go to our website, livelifecustom.com, grinder-tv.com, and buy.
Are you coming out? Do you have plans for a new shirt anytime soon?
Yes. In conjunction with.
Oh.
There are things cooking.
Oh, okay.
But yes, very soon.
Cool.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
All right, cool.
Yeah. All right.
We'll see you next week.